Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. Honestly, it's our favorite time of the day where we get to hang out together and talk about how the truth of God's Word can make a huge difference in your life. And that's what we're going to hear from Richard in a way that only he can do, with words of hope, insight, and humor. You may be stuck in traffic or stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help get you on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. So let's get right into today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Checkmate. Interesting enough, the term checkmate, it comes from a Persian phrase, shamat, which means literally the king is ambushed. And as we talk about this today, what I'd like you to factor in is this, whether you're listening to this tape or CD or wherever you're listening to this thing here today or somewhere beyond, I'm making a basic assumption that you give a rip about what God thinks about anything, including your life and who you marry. Now, this ain't going to make much sense beyond this if you don't. If you're just hell-bent on being hell-bent and whatever I want to do, it's all about me and me being happy. And if she doesn't do what I want her to do, and if he's not what I expect, I'll just get rid of him, then this isn't going to apply. I'm making a basic assumption here, hopefully, that you care what God even thinks about these things. Because if you don't, we know just right off the bat, there's a 50% chance if you marry this person, it's just not going to work out. And unfortunately, even among Christians, there's a 50% chance they don't work out. So I'm trying more every day to do everything I can when I sit down with couples or hear about couples to do what can be done early on in the process to slow them down and get them to at least think. I had a seminary professor said, when the heart goes, you might as well just cut the head off. And unfortunately, that is the case. No one will think. They just, you know, if you get enough goosebump count going, then there's just no way to stop a couple. Checkmate is defined as a situation in chess in which one player's king is under attack and there's no way to meet that threat. And going off of the basic assumption that you are a Christian or that you are engaged or about to get engaged to a Christian maybe, it is possible that both of your or one of your kings is under attack and who is ruling and reigning in your life and hopefully in the life of this relationship. And I'm telling you, the book says, Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And then Jesus followed it up and said, but I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it to the full or have it abundantly. So there are a couple of plans for your life. And you need to find out in these relationships, is the plan I'm about to accept and sign up for God's plan or is it my plan? And really, if it is just your plan, ultimately it ends up being the devil's plan. And I am a strong believer in arranged marriages, believe it or not. I think all marriages ought to be arranged by God. And if they're not, you're in trouble. And you're making some kind of arrangement unless they are arranged by God. And whatever, and this may sound really cold-blooded, and I know there's things you just can't foresee, but a lot of the mess we get ourselves into, we get ourselves into. You know what? I'm tired of this mess. All these people want to call me, well, you're a pastor. Would you talk to me about my relationship with my husband? Like, you know what? Why didn't you talk to me or somebody before now? You say, well, aren't you willing to help people? I'm trying to keep you from wasting my time to do everything I can to get you to think and stop and get people around you to think and stop. If you think you're going to offend somebody, let me tell you something. They're going to be in so much pain within just a matter of days. If you love somebody and care enough about them, look them in the eye, take them to lunch and say, look, I'm your friend. I love you. I've been praying for you. I've been watching you. I work with you. You're my neighbor. We go to church together, whatever you do together. Say, I care. I know this may cost us our entire relationship, but I love you enough to do a little checkmate here and tell you these are some things I see. And you are getting yourself into a mess. And you may be an expert at these things, and that's why you're talking to them. Say, look, I'm not judging you. Let me tell you my story. Here's where I screwed up and what it cost me. Now, you go do whatever you want to do. You're an adult, but I'm trying to help you. I love you. Please listen. Please consider these things. At least ask the question. Sit down with somebody, and don't do this to that person or to yourself and to everybody, your own family. Anyhow, I might be preaching here in any second. Now, I almost called this rules of engagement. And I really am talking about you're dating somebody, you've got it messed up enough, but it is almost impossible. If you get engaged to somebody, you're in a very, very dangerous spot. Because the second you get engaged, what happens? We got to pick a place to get married. And it's fascinating to me how nobody's got a place to get married anymore. Nobody goes to church anymore, so they're scrambling to find some party hall or beer joint or whatever, some backyard to get married. We got to find a place to get married. And to find that place, you got to secure it. And to secure it, you got to put up money. Now you're financially committed. Now we got to go taste chocolate cake. You know, we're going to eat the groom's cake. By the way, I don't go to any weddings. I find out right up front, is there a groom's cake? If there's not, I'm not doing your wedding, you know. Groom's cake is the bait. That's how they keep you at a wedding. You ever notice that? They'll give you all that white cake you want, but they hold. You know, they wait. We got to keep them here a few more minutes, and nobody leaves without groom's cake. It's just, they stand around forever. You book a place. You pick a caterer. You got to pick all these things out, and you got to give them money. You've bought a ring. I don't know if you know this or not. I was in the precious stone jewelry business for years, and I had guys come in and sit down. It cost me a sale sometimes, but they'd come to get engaged, and I'd say, you know what? I'd listen to them and watch them if they came with a girl especially, and I'd sit there for a while and say, you know what? I'm not comfortable selling you a ring. He said, well, you're an idiot. What in the world? You know, sell the guy. It's his problem. You know what? It's not. I would be an accomplice to something I saw that was clearly going to be a disaster. And he'd be back in a few months saying, how much you give me for this ring, you know? Put it on the scale and, you know, he's dead. But they'd come in and sit down and I'd look him in the eyes and watch this whole thing. And what men, and maybe this little piece of education, what men don't understand is that they get engaged when they buy a ring. Women get engaged when they're asked, will you marry me? Men get engaged when they buy that ring. They sit down at the desk, we'd go through all this thing, looping stones, going all this stuff. And then I'd say that, you know, I said, well, it's kind of stopped. I'd say, would you like to buy this diamond? It was kind of that moment. And he said, yeah. When a man reaches for his checkbook, he's proposing to get married. I mean, he's about to sign a check. And all of a sudden it goes off in his head. You know what? This is the real deal, man. You talk about guys turning white, almost passing out in a chair, because from that second on, they're in because they financially committed a thing. I had one guy that happened to, and he was just all bent out of shape. Man, he realized he was in, and I knew we were going to have problems. I said, okay, now here's the deal. I want you to come by and pick it up on the day that you're going to get engaged because you are too hot to trot. It was like he wouldn't have made it, and he didn't make it, and here's what he did. Comes by, picks up the ring, going to get engaged at night. He had a boat kind of thing planned out on the lake. It was the most romantic thing you ever heard of. Has this ring in a paper bag and goes home. Goes by her house, and you know, he's just like electroshock treatment going on. He's just so excited. He goes in the house, and they have been putting up a ceiling fan. So she's up on the ladder doing something, and he can't stand anymore and hands her that paper bag. It took her 3 days to recover from the disappointment. Almost didn't marry him because it was so frustrating. He had that stone in his hot little hands and was committed. And there are lines that you cross when you get engaged that you have a very hard time from getting behind. It is a dangerous thing to get engaged, okay? Something, you cross the line there. And I'm talking about things today, questions to ask, things to go through before you get to that point, okay? I had two girls come in my office one day, and this girl was like a week from a wedding. And she came in, her buddy, her friend had brought her in, and something was wrong. I closed the door, sat them both down. I said, okay, what's going on? And she says, I just can't do this. And so I talked her through the whole process, and I said, here's what you're going to do. I said, I am not going to be an accomplice to this. It was an out-of-town wedding. You know, she was terrified and knew it was not the right thing to do, but needed some simple encouragement just to get out before she wrecked that guy's life and her life. We mapped out a plan. She walked out, started going through the steps, started making the calls, and she shut it down. Now you say, but that's terrible. What a terrible thing to do. You know what? Calling off weddings is a whole lot easier than calling off marriages. And if you're not comfortable with it, you don't have any peace about it, you get in the middle of this thing and you get a month into it, you know, without getting too graphic, I'm going to tell you what a nightmare, in my opinion, would be, is to have no peace about what you're doing, go down the aisle anyway, say the words, and from that moment on, know you're stuck. And to end up in what the other person thinks is going to be a wonderful evening, a honeymoon, and you crawl in that bed, and you're going to have sex with somebody you don't even want to be near the rest of your life. And how many people get into that situation and just think, well, everybody thought we were a beautiful couple together. You know what? They don't have to sleep with you every night. Who cares what they think? Are they going to be there to bail you out? No. stop and think about what you're doing. And when you observe people where there is really no peace and you know it, if you love them enough, you say, but they may never speak to me again. They're going to be miserable one way or another. Catch them on this side of it. Now, let me throw some things out here, just observations. Girls are usually looking for a soulmate, and guys are usually looking for a playmate, and that's probably part of the problem. These things start with a first date and end up with kind of a roommate situation, unfortunately, or you start feeling like an inmate with a cellmate and a life sentence. Now, this may seem overly simplistic, but let me just start here. If you have come to the place in the road of your life and there's a fork in the road, and either you're going to do what the culture says or you're going to do what God says, that is a big deal. If you want some just practical cultural suggestions about engagement and all these things, anybody can give you that. If you want a godly life and a godly marriage, you're going to have to go to God for this stuff. And if you know anything about chess, back to that, you sit down with a chess player. Real chess players don't sit down and go, I'll move the pawn 2 up, and then I'll think about it. They have thought 4, 5, 6, 10 moves deep, and the real pros at this thing can already tell you there's a beginning game, middle game, end game. They know where they're going and have figured it out based on what move you make. The advantage, you say, well, I'm not that smart. I can't see that far ahead. You have got insider information. You have got the God of the universe, if you're a Christian, living in you. All you got to do is ask him. You say, but I don't know that I want to know what he thinks. What we usually go to God with is, God, look who I picked out. We just need you to sign off right here. And we'll be on our way. We won't bother anymore. You're not coming to say, is it okay if I marry this person? You're here to say, this is what we decided, and we just want your blessing. You better get his blessing before you decide on somebody. And it's a simple thing. You just pray. And you better be praying before the first date, or you're going to get yourself into a mess. Once you get to this place and you think, well, I think it's okay, and we've crossed some lines, maybe messed up, but I've got to stop and be sure this is what God wants. If you bother to ask him and he tells you no, you better thank God that he told you no and get out of there. Because if you cross the line and he says, you know what, thanks for asking, the answer is no. You say, well, what am I going to do? My clock's ticking. What if no one else loves me this way? I'm not crazy about him, or I'm not crazy about her, but I've never had anybody love me this way. What if it's my last chance? I'll just compromise and make the best of it. Now, what's unfortunate is in this room alone, I could say, how many of you have ever been there? And hands would go up. You say, well, Richard, you live in some fairy tale land with your head in the Bible, thinking the world is just a perfect place and these little scenarios work out and it's all romance and you ask God and it'll all be okay. I live in a real world. I got kids to raise and I got 2 or 3 kids and they need a daddy and this guy's nice to my kids and I don't really love him, but I need some health insurance. You're laughing. And I say back to you, okay, let's live it your way and see how it works out. I've tried it my way. You know what? It doesn't work my way. So how long are you going to have to take turns and the signs all say dead end, you know, turn around, dead end. You say, oh, no, no, this might be an exception. They might have put the wrong sign up on this street. And you get down your little cul-de-sac and have to turn around. And how often are we going to have to do this? We say, you know what? Okay, God, we're going to try it your way. Do I have your permission not just to marry this idiot, but to even go out with them? Some guy picks up the phone, hey, baby, what's up? You know. Don't fall for the hey, babies. And if you're walking with God and talking with God, then something, his spirit doesn't bear witness with your spirit. And the Holy Spirit says, stay away. Trouble. He's not after a long-term relationship. Just put it that way. He wants you, but not for long. Don't get yourself in this mess. And vice versa. There are women out there. I mean, I don't want to get into that. That's a whole nother day. So talk to God about it. Just stop and pray. And you can't imagine the problems, the time that doesn't get eaten up. You say, well, I'll be home lonely. You're going to be home lonely anyway. And there might be a man or a woman in the house, and you're going to be lonely. And then you don't even have the option to find somebody else because you signed yourself up. What else? You're going to have to communicate. And I know romance is beautiful and all these things, but what the devil, and I've said this, and I keep saying the same thing over and over again because it's the truth. The devil uses sex to get you together and destroy the relationship going into marriage. And the second you get married, nobody's having sex. The reverse thrusters. It's like, does everything do to get you together going in? The second you get married, it's all over. And now the fight is to even get back together. Now, here's my suggestion. Talk to God first and then talk to the other person. You'd be amazed what you can discover early on in the process. And you go, oh, my gosh, who are you? You may be hot and all that, but my gosh, I wouldn't spend another 10 minutes with you. You got nothing. They may have it going on the outside, but be completely empty on the inside. And you're going to spend more time with what they got on the inside because time and gravity just takes care of all that other stuff. Let you think about that just a minute, too. Communicate. And the more you communicate, the more you find out about who the person is. I get these couples in, come in, they're all, you know, just terrified to talk to me. They want to get engaged, get married. And one of the first questions I'll ask them is, are you a Christian? And then I discover they haven't even had the conversation with each other. I look at one of them, I said, well, has he ever told you that? No, we've never talked about that. And I, as gently as I possibly can, say, what the heck are you doing in here? Why are you sitting here talking to me about marriage and life and your future when you haven't had the conversation about the most important thing that's going to be all you got? When all hell breaks loose and the storm hits your house and the sex goes out the window, the communication goes out the window, the money goes out the window, you got nothing but a slab of God to land on. You either got it or you don't. And if you don't, you're toast. And nobody believes this stuff until they get hit with it. And do we learn anything in the process? Communicate. And then I'd say the more you communicate, communicate some more and get stuff out in the open and find out. Keep talking. Find out who this person is. Because you know what? Somebody said once that marriage, as it turns out, is just a long conversation with somebody. Hopefully with some fantasy suites interspersed. All right, I'm going to run through these fast because we're running out of time. Communication. In the sex category, set boundaries. You got to set these things early on. If you don't decide before you start dating, and no one's going to tell you. I mean, I may be a voice of one crying in the wilderness. We'll all talk about it. And I read the scriptures, but I goes, whatever. He's dreaming. Nobody's doing this stuff. You can't tell a man no. He'll dump you. You can't tell a girl no. She'll accuse you of being gay. Right, guys? What are you, gay or something? They don't want you jumping their bones, but when you don't try, they think you're gay. Now, which is it? Money. Talk about money. Is this person completely upside down in debt? You say, oh, well, love overcomes many evils. That's one of the tougher ones. Is it my money? Is it your money? Is it our money? Is there any money? Who's going to pay the bills? Do you believe in having a budget or not? Family. You're not just marrying one person. You're marrying a whole lot of them. If they're from Arkansas or someplace, you're in trouble. Where are you going to spend the holidays? I married one of these, well, this year and then that year. And you know what it's been? This year and this year and this year. I saw a picture of my parents one Christmas. That was about it. Kids, how many are you going to have? Are you going to stay at home mom or daycare or stay at home dad? What are you going to do? Well, I didn't know you believed that or thought that. Are you going to spank or not spank? You can't spank my kids. My kids? Pet peeves. Is the toilet seat going to be up or down? I married a pet peeve. His name was Bubba. I married a cat. God rest his soul. He died in a tragic accident. He tried to launch himself off my foot and flew across the room. You know what? We're laughing, but Bubba was part of my deal. And she flat out told me, you know, Bubba was here before you got here. And she and Bubba had weathered some really tough times together. I got all these women out there. That's so sweet. Or something like this. I'll change him after we're married. I'll change her. Oh, I got some amens out here now. And maybe this is no brainer. Find out if you're a Christian, don't marry someone who's not a Christian. And then don't just say, are you a Christian? Oh, yeah, let them tell your story. Find out if you have an interest in being a Christian and walking with God, see if they've got the same interest. He said, but you said they're a Christian. You can be a Christian and live like hell. And we've all proven that. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And I can line women up especially who are married to non-believers. And let him tell you, one after the other after the other. He won't go to church with me. He won't talk about the most personal stuff I got going on. There is something more intimate than sex. and it is your relationship with God. And when you have no one to share that with, you got no soulmate, you got no spirit mate. Now, I'm going to recommend you go back and read Genesis chapter 2, where Adam and Eve come together. I'm going to recommend you read 1 Corinthians 13 and find this person and say, is this the person I'm dating? Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy, does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. And there's a little phrase in here in verse 11. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. I always love the fact that that's buried in the love chapter. You know why? Because it's time to grow up. Little kids fall in love, and then they break up, and they cry, and then they learn it doesn't work that way, and there's a real world out there, and you got to grow up. You're not a child anymore. If you are, you need to grow up before you make an adult decision like getting engaged or getting married. You've got to put away childish things. And then I recommend you read Ephesians chapter 5 and just 25 alone. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. If you're getting engaged to a man who doesn't love you the way Christ loved the church and was willing to die for her, then don't marry him. You say, but I'll change him. You won't change him. Only God can put that in a man's heart. And I'm one of the most selfish, pouty goofballs on the planet, okay? So, I mean, you say, well, but you're a preacher and all that. You know what? I'm a piece of work like every other man on the planet. No matter who you claim to be, everybody struggles with this. But if you're marrying a guy who isn't even making an attempt at this, doesn't even talk about it, doesn't demonstrate any of it, you're going to get whatever you signed up for. And don't come crying to everybody going, oh, I didn't know. Yes, you did. You made some deal with the devil to have everything stolen, steal, kill, and destroy. And you wonder why everything is gone. And you feel like you're dying and your life's being destroyed. That's the deal you made. Don't make that deal. Find out who you are, who the other person is. Bother to ask God anything. Talk to him before you get yourself in a mess. Do a little checkmate before you jump in.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellistalks.com. You'll find today's talk right there in the talks page, along with all of Richard's messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link to connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, a radio station finder, all our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellistalks.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for the warning signs that you put along the road of our life. And it may be a little late for some people, Lord, so let's start with them. There's some people going, absolutely, amen, everything you're saying is true, but I married this person and I got to get out of here. Lord, help them see that's not the answer. They are married now. And somehow by your grace and your mercy and your strength and giving us courage, we can make it through a lot of stuff. And miraculously, people's lives can change, or you change us in the midst of living it, Lord. For anybody here or beyond, whether we know them or it's the person involved in this relationship, engaged, about to get engaged, Father, I pray that you'd put the air brakes on and shut it down and give us enough wisdom and the courage to speak to friends, family, whoever it is, Lord, as we are prompted by you, because we love them and not meddling in their business, not judging them, but help us do it in a compassionate, gentle way and help them see that they're potentially destroying their life and the life of the other person and so many other people around them. Lord Jesus, I thank you for loving your church and we individually as a part of that, enough that you would die for us, give yourself for us. And I pray that the men listening today would set out to love a woman, if marriage is in their future, the way Christ loved the church and gave himself for us and for it. And that you would put it in the hearts of women, Lord, to submit to you, first of all, Lord, and then even have a clue what that means to submit to a man, but choose to submit to a man who is genuinely submitted to you, Father. Help people avoid these avoidable messes. And may we be wise enough to even stop and talk to you about all these things to begin with, Lord. Thank you that you're not withholding any good thing from us. You want the best for us. You have to, or you would never have given your own son to die for us. We love you, and we thank you, and we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. There's only one reason we do this program: to take the planet with the good news of Jesus Christ. That's our message and our mission. And you have a vital part of doing that along with us. If you've been encouraged by these talks with Richard, be sure to share with someone about the change they've made in your life. And we'd love to hear your story as to how the talks have made a difference to you. Give us a call. We'd love to talk with you. 855-6-RICHARD. You can also reach us through our website, richardellistalks.com. And while you're there, check out all the fun and informative pages we put together for you, richardellistalks.com. While you're there, be sure to click on the Contribute tab at the top to send your generous gift. If the program is making a difference to you, your gift will make a big difference to us. Until next time, thanks so much for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.